I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. She wanted her daughter to know more about the grandmother she'd never met, so she wrote a children's book as a tribute to her, a conversation with Maya Sotero Eng. She also happens to be President Obama's sister. We'll talk about her new book, Ladder to the Moon. But first, we're going to talk more about the topic of spending. A few minutes ago, we talked about the long term, those big picture plans from both President Obama and House Budget Chair Paul Ryan to cut the federal deficit down the road. But now we want to spend a few more minutes on the cuts just negotiated to avoid a government shutdown, the billions slashed in order to strike a deal just to the end of the 2011 budget. We think that negotiation offers clues about the philosophical lines in the long-term battle. Right now, we want to talk about the cuts of $8 billion from the government's international affairs budget. That includes major cuts in food aid, health programs, and other economic aid. To talk more about what these funding cuts might mean now and down the road, we've called on George Ingram. He's worked on international development for nearly 40 years. He's currently chair of the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition, an advocate for international development, diplomacy, and defense. Before that, he worked as principal deputy assistant administrator of USAID in the Clinton administration. That's the U.S. agency that provides aid for international development worldwide. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
What of these cuts are you most concerned about? I do have to mention that the current USAID Administrator Rajiv Shah, when the cuts were even being debated, warned Congress earlier this month in some very dire terms. He said that some of the proposals on the table then would have cut food and water to the Darfur region of Sudan in half and prevented millions of children from receiving malaria treatment. He painted a very vivid picture. What are you most concerned about now?
Well, to put it in the understand the context, this foreign assistance is less than 1% of the federal budget, but it's 17% of the cuts that were on the table. And I'm particularly concerned about the cut by a third in the administration's initiative for Feed the Future. Secondly, a cut of $1 billion from our contributions to the international financial institutions. The Peace Corps is cut, the organization that puts Americans in the field. And USAID operating expenses are cut about $150 million.
You recently co-authored an opinion piece stating we have to stop using foreign assistance as a budget piñata. What did you mean by that, and why do you think it is a budget piñata?
Well, it's a budget piñata right now because in the 2011 budget discussions, what have we been talking about? Have we been talking about the whole budget? No. We've been talking about 12% of the budget, the discretionary part of the budget. And in that part of the budget, when you look where most of the domestic spending occurs, a lot of the policymakers take a look at the education, highways, and they say, we can't cut those. And they look at foreign assistance, and that's something overseas. And they don't fully understand the extent to which that's in the national interest.
And do you think it is that many of the people making these decisions either don't understand what the money is used for, or they just don't agree with it?
I think 15 years ago, when we were dealing with the Congress, a lot of them did understand what it's used for. In our recent conversations on the Hill, they understand what it's used for. They actually, many of them understand the importance. But their bottom line is, we've got to cut the budget, irrespective.
Well, what do you say to that? If people who say, look, we do have to cut the budget. I mean, if you're living in a budget environment in which we're telling, you know, seniors, taxpayers, American citizens, people who paid taxes their whole life, that we're not going to spend as much to support their medical care or their health care. There are those who would say, well, it's unfortunate, but you have to, everybody's got to take a share of the hit.
Well, a few months ago, I would say Afghanistan, today I say the Middle East. And you can incur a small investment today, or you can incur a gigantic investment down the road, as we've had to incur in Afghanistan with the instability that caused there.
Well, I'm going to give you in the minute that we have left, I'm going to give you a minute for you to make the case about why this kind of spending does indeed matter.
Well, take the case of the administration's initiative on Feed the Future. This is an initiative that has been agreed to internationally. Many other donors are participating. And it's designed to take people in developing countries from an inability to feed themselves to being able to meet the hunger needs, the food needs of their family. And it's designed to reduce poverty, bring in sustainable economic growth, empower women. Who are the farmers around the world? 80% of the farmers in the world are women. And it will move them off of dependence of relief into meeting their own needs.
And finally, before I let you go, we only have about 30 seconds left, and I apologize for that. You know, you're part of a group that's actually working to what you call modernize foreign aid. So can it be done better? Can people get more bang for the buck? And if so, how?
There are ways that this administration, we've been pushing for greater accountability, greater monitoring and evaluation, actually hiring more employees at AID so AID has the capability to effectively manage the programs and to respond to the needs and make sure our programs actually meet the needs of people in the field.
George Ingram is a former Principal Deputy Assistant Administrator of USAID, the U.S. Agency for International Development. He's currently the chair of the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition. He's also part of the Modernizing Foreign Assistance Network, and he was kind enough to join us here in our studios in Washington, D.C. Mr. Ingram, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.